Coming up on Tech News Today, the People browser versus Twitter. Also, who's the worst carrier in the U.S. and how to get 10 Sony films in 4K, not for free. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, November 29th, 2012. Tech News Today is brought to you by Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. If you're a media maker looking for video, photos, illustrations, music, sound effects, After Effects templates, or 3D models, check out Pond5. And for an exclusive 50 free stock media downloads, go to pond5.com/TNT. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code TNT11. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zakta.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we keep you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, starting each time with, say it with me, the top 10 stories of the day in the news fuse.
The news fuse
is in another castle. Internet monitoring firm Renesas reported today that internet and mobile phone systems in Syria became unreachable as of 12:26 p.m. Syria time. This effectively removed Syria from the internet. The BBC noted that the Syrian government had previously cut off access during major operations in the civil war there.
This year's Consumer Reports mobile carrier satisfaction survey is out, and Verizon has once again been rated the best, at least of the major providers, getting high marks for voice and data service quality, knowledgeable staff, and issue resolution. Sprint and T-Mobile were next, and everybody's least favorite carrier, AT&T, brought up the rear for the third year in a row. In fact, all but Verizon scored pretty badly on voice service quality, and only 4 points separated them in the ratings.
At least AT&T is consistently disappointing. Good news for RIM. Goldman Sachs upgraded RIM's shares and said there's a 30% chance BlackBerry 10 phones will be a success. That led to RIM's stock price to experience an increase of almost 10%. In more RIM news, developers will be able to get their hands on BlackBerry 10's SDK Gold release on December 11th and can register for RIM's $10,000 incentive for certified apps. RIM is also offering some new hardware to developers, a handset with something called a QWERTY keyboard.
Tony Fadell, CEO of Nest and oft-times considered the godfather of the iPod, because he'll make you a playlist you can't refuse, is cheering when Scott Forstall's departure from Apple was announced. Fadell told the BBC that Forstall, quote, got what he deserved when he was forced to leave Apple. So don't bother handing in that application at Nest, Scott Forstall.
You guys sick of your Fitbits?
Sick of your fuel bands?
Sick of it.
Of your up?
Not yet.
Well, maybe basis science will help you get back on physical track or at least get excited about it again. This is a $199 basis watch band. It's kind of interesting. It looks very old school. It contains a three-axis accelerometer, an optical sensor to monitor your heart rate. It can even monitor your perspiration levels. Don't really know why you'd want to do that, but it can. Both ambient and user temperature. It's water resistant, connects via Bluetooth or USB, and can run for 4 days on a single charge. Android and iOS apps are in development, and pre-orders start today.
It's been over a month since Windows 8 launched, so how's that PC market doing right now? NPD took a look at a four-week period and found Windows 8 did not lead to increased sales of PCs, and Windows sales were down 21% compared to the same period examined last year. More troubling for Microsoft is of Windows devices sold, only 58% were Windows 8 machines. Taking a look to the past, 1 month after Windows 7 was introduced, it accounted for 83% of Windows sales.
Twitter's increasingly restrictive data access policies have landed it in court. People Browser won a temporary restraining order against Twitter to keep the so-called fire hose of data open. People Browser provides data analytics for its CRED site, as well as big clients like the Department of Justice and Dell. Department of Defense and Dell. Twitter said it's a simple matter of contract law, and Twitter's contract with People Browser is over. So get over it.
Apple's iPhone 5 is this much closer to launching in China, discovers the Wall Street Journal, because the China Telecommunication Equipment Certification Center has approved the iPhone 5 for a network access license in the country. Apple's currently planning to launch the iPhone 5 on both China Telecom and China Unicom networks. The company is reportedly hoping to bring the device to China Mobile as well. That's the largest network in China, the country's largest carrier. But so far, no deal has been announced.
Score one for the MPAA, that little underdog. Newsbin 2, a Usenet indexing site, has decided to cease operations. Newsbin 2 succeeded the original Newsbin site, which was taken down after legal action by the international arm of the MPAA, the MPA. The site had been ordered blocked by ISPs in the UK, and the MPA was suing PayPal and another payments provider for working with Newsbin 2. The site claimed to have been DMCA compliant, but the MPA continued to target it anyway.
The big complaint about 4K displays, there's no content. Well, Sony's figured this out and is bundling a 4K video player with its $25,000 4K television. It's a hard disk server that will come preloaded with 10 Sony pictures like The Amazing Spider-Man and Taxi Driver, along with 4K video shorts. The small catch is you have to be a U.S. customer to get the preloaded content.
And entirely disrespectful of our schedule, Apple just released iTunes 11, at least according to our chat room. Everybody's in there downloading it right now.
What's a girl going to do to get an update alert?
They don't make iTunes for Ubuntu, so I can't try it. But you guys let
good
me know how it
works. Checking for updates and just says,
All right. This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by Pond5, the world's stock media marketplace. I know lots of you out there work in the media. And you're looking for your independent projects. You're looking for royalty-free legal images that you can use without having to pay through the nose and continue paying. That's what Pond5 is all about. Professional, quality stock media. Photos, vector illustrations, music tracks, sound effects. Sound effects are one of the hardest things to find. Even if you can find it free, sometimes they just suck. You want good stuff? Go to Pond5. Customizable motion graphics templates, 3D models, and more. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And if you're an artist who's like, wait a minute, I make that stuff. You know, yeah, I have to use some stock stuff every once in a while, but I would like to sell my stuff. Pond5's there for you, too. Like our car screeching to a halt, saying, wait a minute. We're going to shake up the traditional stock agency business with an open, artist-friendly marketplace.
I really hope anyone who is driving
for professional content. Seriously.
Wasn't frightened by that.
I didn't know.
We're
I just searched for cars.
I hate it when there's when there's commercials on the radio with those the siren sound effects and stuff. Anyway, that's how good Pond5 is. It could be dangerous in a car. For artists selling on the site, Pond5 gives you control over pricing, and that's unheard of. You get to set the price. You get 50% royalties for each and every sale. It's a higher payout than other stock photo marketplaces. So go try it out. You can get 50 free stock media downloads just to see the quality of the stuff they have there at pond5.com/TNT. That's P-O-N-D, the number 5.com/TNT. And we thank Pond5 for their support of Tech News Today. Joining us now from the Geek Dad blog, New York Times best-selling author, Ken Denmead. You weren't driving, were you, just now, Ken?
Oh, no. God forbid. But, you know, I now obviously need to start work on the TNT soundboard.
Ah, yes. And then you'll upload it to Pond5.
iPhone app. We'll just... I won't even need to come on the show anymore. I'll just sit all day listening to, you know, it's time for the news views. It's time for the news. Yeah.
Copyright law. I don't know about that.
Whatever.
We'll keep following it.
Nice segue, Tom.
Yeah. Ken, it's good to have you. Let's start talking about this People Browser lawsuit with Twitter and the People Browser. People Browser pays, or has paid, $1 million a year for access to the full fire hose of data from Twitter. Now, here's the deal. They signed, I think it was 4 years ago, a one-year term contract with automatic renewal, cancelable with a 30-day notice. So, in other words, after that first year, at any point, either party could give 30 days notice and end the contract. Twitter has been moving from being an open platform, as you know, but also from allowing a lot of people to have access to that fire hose for money to what's called the Certified Products Program. There's about 20 companies in that program. They advised People Browser in May that People Browser wasn't going to be put in that Certified Products Program, that they might need to use Gnip or DataSift. And the problem with that is those third-party resellers of Twitter data don't give you all the data you get when you're a direct customer of the Firehose. So People Browser says, all right, let's figure this out. They had lots of meetings. Twitter said, no, you're just not going to be one of those customers. Get over it. And you're going to be cut off as of November 30th. Now, they told this plenty, way more than 30 days before it happened. CEO Jody Rich, in the filing for this lawsuit, says they relied on Twitter's promise of openness. They will not be able to fulfill their contracts with the Department of Defense and Dell. Rich wrote in the filing, when I asked Twitter's lead negotiator, Kelton Lin, about the provision, he told me, and this is the cancellation provision, the 30-day notice, he told me that Twitter would respect people browser's rights as a developer and that the provision merely was intended to make it easier to terminate if people browser engaged in unacceptable conduct. Now, Twitter says this is contracts 101. You know, it doesn't say anything in the contract about that kind of stuff. All it says is we get to terminate the contract with 30 days notice, and we gave you way more than 30 days notice.
Yeah, yikes. I mean, so all People Browser really has to go on, besides the fact that they're at basically an at-will contract and either party can walk away within 30 days, is that one of the lead negotiators said, don't worry, we won't screw you over.
No, exactly. It seems when you hear about this that this is pretty cut and dried, right, Ayaz? I mean, as a lawyer, you're over there snickering like, yeah, well, it's not stated in the contract. You're screwed.
I have to take a look at the full contract. But, I mean, if you've got a good attorney and you were relying on that, you have to put that in the contract. There's usually a clause in there that takes away every other negotiation you had before. Other pre-existing deals you had may no longer be valid because of the contract you now have. It would overwrite everything, effectively.
In the filing, People Browser doesn't seem to be making any contract-related arguments at all. What they're saying is Twitter created the impression that this service would continue forever, and they built their business on it, and now Twitter has a monopoly over their own information, which kind of is tautological, and so they've misled them.
It's going to have People Browser is going to have a hard fight against they have an uphill battle when it comes to this, because that contract is the first thing you look at. And if it's not in there, you're going to have to really prove a lot of reliance on this issue before you even set up the contract. But the contract is written up for a reason. It's to remove all that doubt.
Now, it sounds like the judge might be at least willing to listen to the arguments, because San Francisco Superior Court issued a temporary restraining order saying Twitter can't cut off People Browser as of November 30th. They've set a date of January 8th to talk about an injunction. That would be a preliminary injunction before the trial. So this is very, very early in the process. The judge is basically saying, you know what, we can't figure this out yet, so don't cut them off. On January 8th, we'll talk about whether it's worth a preliminary injunction that keeps the service going through a trial, and then we'll go to trial. But Ken, legal stuff aside, what do you think about Twitter saying to a big data analytics partner that's built a huge business, you're just going to have to deal with less data now?
I think it's one more example of Twitter trying to figure out how it's going to make money, retooling their business in that direction and stepping on a heck of a lot of toes that, you know, they along the way, that it started as this wonderful thing. Then they realized they needed to make money, and now a lot of people are really angry with them. And that, you know, in some sort of sense of business karma, that will continue to come back and bite them, either through lawsuits that, whether or not they win or lose, they're going to have to be dealing with for a long time to come, or, you know, public perception. And I haven't seen Twitter user statistics for a while about whether or not they're still growing or what, but, you know, sooner or later, there's going to be enough of a bad taste in people's mouths that it's gonna change on them. It's gonna hurt them, I think.
And back to the contract side, by the way, if they're both educated parties and they had lawyers and things, that's going to change things. If Twitter's very beginning and it's just kind of like a handshake deal and you talk about it and it's like two guys in a bar writing up on a napkin, that's going to influence the way the contract is looked at. I'm sure it's not that case.
No, it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be a normal written
contract. And also, who drafted the contract? If Twitter like wrote it all up on their side and they're like, just sign this, that could make a difference too. So we're going to have to see exactly how this shakes out.
Good to know. Let's talk about Consumer Reports annual carrier rankings.
You don't want to just play with iTunes 11 instead?
Well, we could do that.
Nah, yeah. I'm just kidding. It looks very nice. Yeah, it was actually a really quick download once I figured it out. Yeah, AT&T, worst rated carrier in the U.S. 3 years running. Congratulations, AT&T. Can't say I'm surprised. Consumer Reports released their annual carrier ratings. And of course, these are surveys. So this is customer appreciation, right? Customer satisfaction on stuff like, how good is the voice quality of my calls? How fast is my data? Do you have great customer service when I've got a problem and I need to call you? All that sort of stuff. AT&T dead last. Of the large carriers, Verizon's in first place, although there are some companies that actually score higher in customer satisfaction than Verizon. But of the big four, Verizon was actually way ahead of not only AT&T, but also Sprint and T-Mobile. Sprint and T-Mobile were in front of AT&T, but still Verizon was kind of way ahead of the pack. Big marks on good voice quality and speed of data. Although, sort of interestingly, AT&T's 4G LTE network beat Verizon. Sprint and T-Mobile, nothing too much stood out. They just weren't best or worst.
That's interesting that it would be, because AT&T has been catching up. Verizon's been ahead in rollouts anyway.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think it really depends on where you are. For example, in San Francisco, because I have a LTE iPad that's on AT&T's network, and it's so fast. And at first we went, oh, it's because nobody's on AT&T yet. That's why. But it really hasn't slowed down at all. So I think it definitely depends on what sort of metropolitan area you're in or other area. I mentioned some of the smaller carriers that got really high marks. Consumer Cellular, Credo Mobile, and U.S. Cellular all scored higher than Verizon, even though they're not one of the major national carriers. Both Consumer Cellular and Credo are MVNOs. Consumer Cellular relies on AT&T's network. Credo uses Sprint's network. And then U.S. Cellular is just high marking a carrier of its own. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I remember being very unhappy with AT&T before I switched to a Verizon iPhone, and I switched when I had the option to. But I've had some pretty bad customer service experiences with Verizon as well. I mean, I can't say, at least on that front, where, and that matters the most to me is like, as a consumer, what's going to upset me the most? It's the customer service part of it. Verizon does not get high marks.
I mean, I've been out of like the cellular game for a while. I'm pretty much data only, and I use Verizon on my iPad. So I know for their data plans and setting up things with them, it's really easy. I know I've been able to move accounts really simply with them. And I used to be on AT&T back when I had an iPhone 3G. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a nightmare at times, but like it's been years since I've been actually bothering to use their voice service. But data, it's really hard to beat Verizon as far as I'm concerned for coverage. AT&T may be faster, but if they're not in the same amount of areas, I'm not going to be swayed to go to AT&T after hearing about how many horrible experiences other people have.
What do you think, Tom? Does any of this surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I just switched from AT&T to Verizon in June on the iPhone, and frankly, it's been a pleasure.
I've been using both for, you know, I have my phone's on AT&T, grandfathered in. iPad is on Verizon, excellent data. And you know what? I've had extremely positive customer service experiences with both. AT&T has always been fantastic about helping you when you screw up your international data usage and letting you know, grandfathering you in on stuff. Really?
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly what I'm talking about when I say sometimes customer service has been really abysmal because it's always coming back from the international where there's some sort of discrepancy that's to the tune of several thousand dollars, and then I have to go back and forth with several different people and talk to people's managers, and it's just terrible.
That's interesting. Every time, and I've had this happen two or three times on trips, I would go out, I would suddenly get the email, I would call someone up, and they go, you know what, we'll switch you over to this international plan. It will be retroactive to 3 days ago, and then you call us when you're back from your trip, we'll turn it off, and you'll only be paying, you know, $10 a megabyte instead of $500 a megabyte, and it's been good. I love the irony, if I'm using the word correctly, of these MVNOs ranking higher than the companies that provide the networks that they're running on. I mean it's a survey. Yep. It's a survey, so it's public perception is coloring the survey. I think I would love to see some sort of cooperative or national conglomeration, not necessarily buyout, but some way for these MVNOs and these local services to band together to create their own virtual national grid and then make that a fourth or fifth or sixth competitor. That could be really interesting.
Yeah, that seems to be what Sprint was sort of trying to enable to happen in a way by moving into the wholesaling side of things.
Yeah,
and it might still happen. Who knows? Let's talk about all those fitness bands. We got lots of ways to stay healthy now.
Yeah, I mentioned the Basis band. That's the $200 watch, but it's so much more than a watch because it's this water resistant, really good battery charge. accelerometer plus sensor. It uses reflected light to monitor your heart rate. I mean, all sorts of good stuff. And it has this really cool kind of retro 80s watch sort of a look. I would totally wear that. I think it's pretty cool. I am very, I don't know. I think I have wearable fitness tech overload to the point where everything that I've ever gotten really excited about and worn religiously for at least a few months, I've eventually just stopped caring about.
It seems
about.
Like every one of these gets overhyped.
Well, I think it's because people really like the idea of having this information. Hey, what's my heart rate? Wouldn't it be cool if I could just press a button on my little watch that I'm already wearing because it's kind of cool looking and I have that information. And it seems like the technology keeps... It keeps evolving so that it's sort of like, how many calories did I burn? Well, I can get that information, but then I can also now measure my sleep quality. I can measure my resting heart rate versus one where I'm jogging and that sort of stuff. The perspiration levels is very interesting. You'd think you'd sort of be like, I'm perspiring a lot, or I'm not.
You just know.
But maybe you have some sort of a, you know, percentage put into perspective. But this is pretty cool. Pre-orders do start today, as I mentioned. But this was shown off at CES. So, I mean, almost a year ago, we saw the Basis Band. And the software, according to The Verge, has gotten a big overhaul. The tech itself doesn't look too much different. But the displays show the time, calories burned, heart rate, number of steps you've taken. You can connect to a computer to send the data back to Basis' services via USB, but it's also Bluetooth enabled. They're working on both iOS and Android apps. What's kind of interesting about this, though, and you might be thinking, gosh, this really sounds like everything I've heard about before, is that the company is at least trying to take a different approach based on how people really do exercise and the kind of goals that you set for yourself. You know, you think about someone who goes on a diet, and it's like, I want to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks, and it doesn't happen, and then you're like, ah, didn't work. Okay, I'm sick of this. This is just
forget this Fitbit. I'm done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the idea is that users can set goals for themselves, several different types of activities. So, you know, the number of hours you slept. It's like, I really want to sleep 8 hours, or I really want to burn this many calories.
I really want to
tomorrow.
Sleep 15 hours.
That's a goal. But you can't set too many goals at once you first set it up for the first time, because the CEO, Jeff Holov, told The Verge, people set goals based on who they wish they were, not who they are. So at first, you can set a couple goals for yourself, and then you can work your way up, because that's naturally probably how the only way you're going to progress and not have burnout and quit. So I think that's actually that's a pretty smart way to try to keep people on board, rather than saying, oh, this is a fad, I'm done with it, because I couldn't meet my goals, and so it doesn't work type of thing. There's also another company. This is a lot more based on sort of not so much fitness, but illness, you know, and biology, called Scanadu. This is a company that has three products they say are ready for next year. We have no pricing information on any of them. But this is very interesting. The Scanadu Scout is, it almost looks like a little, kind of actually looks like a little Apple TV, actually. You hold it between two fingers and press it up against your temple. The CEO says that is the place on your entire body where you would be able to get the most data on your physiological, your status, right? So it monitors patterns, right? So, you know, is your blood pressure seeming, you know, really high for a few months now? Could that be indicative of something you should see a doctor about? That sort of thing. It pairs to a smartphone app via Bluetooth. I haven't seen the app in use anywhere. But then it measures things like the pulse transit time, your heart rate, electrical heart activity, your temperature, your heart rate variability, blood oxygenation. I mean, this is, it feels like a very, very lofty project. I mean, we're looking at a video for any of our audio listeners of a family, and they're scanning their daughter to figure out that she needs to visit urgent care because there's something that's come up as something that's a little scary. So this one is a little bit, it's sort of less fun and more, oh, could this somehow replace my doctor in certain situations so that I can self-diagnose, which always sounds scary to me because that's usually not something you should be doing too much of unless you're a trained professional. But there's also a couple other devices that Scanadu is coming out with. The ScanFlu, this is a saliva testing device that scans for things like strep throat or Project ScannaFlow. I'm not making this up.
No.
Urine testing device that looks at things like, are you dehydrated? Are you pregnant?
Huh?
That sort of thing.
What
are the other things that you test for? You need to drink more water, and you're pregnant. You better do that. The products all have to pass FDA inspections. They have not yet. And again, like I said, no pricing information, but I feel cautiously optimistic about this stuff.
Obviously, it's something a lot of people want because there's a lot of products out there competing.
I want my medical tricorder.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the medical tricorder. I gotta say, none of those smartwatches are terribly impressing me right now. The fitness side of it and the smartwatch side of it. Looking at that picture of that one watch, wow, welcome to the 80s of digital technology. I mean, the screen on that thing looked terrible. I do not think there has yet been an iPhone moment for the smartwatch and for the fitness gadget. And somebody needs to get something along the lines of a Retina display into these watches so that, first of all, the interface doesn't look like something out of Tron. And then, you know, maybe we'll see wider adoption. I'm excited by the technology. It feels like people are still flailing around a little bit. We're still in the early days of these really becoming something impressive. Somebody's going to do it right in the next couple of years. And then everybody will copy that, and then we will all live with these devices on us the same way we're living with our smartphones right now. But until then, I've yet to be excited by anything.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog or online portfolio. We talk about it all the time. You really got to try it out. It's the best mobile experience going for something that you can just concentrate on making your site and not worry about all the programming that goes on underneath. Squarespace takes care of all that. They take care of the reliability. They keep the servers up. You concentrate on taking one of their great templates and just making it say what you want to say. You focus on the message with Squarespace. They let you drag and drop your images. They resize the images for multiple screens. They redo the templates for multiple screens. It is faster and easier than ever to build a great-looking website. So go try it out right now. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free account. And if you're, what do I need to do? All you got to do is go there and you sign up. You give them a name of a website and an email address, and you're in. You don't give them a credit card. You don't give them anything. You don't commit to anything. You try it out. You can even import your current blog if you want to just see how it looks in one of their templates. And then if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code TNT11 and get 10% off your first purchase on new Squarespace accounts. Now, that's monthly or annual plans. So if you sign up for the annual plan, you actually get 10% off the entire year, and they throw in a free domain name with annual plan subscriptions. That's squarespace.com. Use that offer code TNT11, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. On into 4K land. Sony's got a 4K Ultra HD video player, and you may say, what am I going to watch on it? There's no 4K content out there.
Well, that's why you're going to buy the 4K Ultra HD home experience, because Sony's got their act together by having a video player that comes with the TV that's controlled by an Xperia Tablet S. It's all one giant bundle for $25,000.
Oh, that's so reasonable.
Well, I mean, it's the first thing. If you're going to spend $25,000, you might as well have something to watch.
Just about the cost of an Audi.
Well, this is a lot more useful, a lot less dangerous. I have no idea.
More useful.
84-inch TV, that's more useful.
Well, you never have to travel
certainly
anymore.
Certainly less dangerous. You're right.
Anyway, my point is, it comes with some A-list movies like Amazing Spider-Man, Taxi Driver, some not-so-A-list movies like That's My
Boy.
When
you say comes with, what does that mean?
The video player is a hard disk player that has preloaded 10 movies from Sony Pictures. So Sony's actually working with itself for once in providing content for its electronics. You'll see Amazing Spider-Man, Taxi Driver. Like I was saying, some not-so-great ones like That's My Boy and the other guys involved there. There's some Weasley language as to whether these are remastered in 4K or not. It says Sony's the leader in mastering in 4K. It's just appropriate that we bring 4K movies to the TV. So they didn't exactly say they remastered these, so they're at least claiming it's 4K content. And Gadget talked to Sony Electronics COO Phil Molyneux about the 4K Ultra HD video player. They said it's something only Sony can do. I guess I'm just kind of curious about, is this like Cause Arise one Sony approach actually working? Because we have Sony Pictures preloading content onto a Sony Electronics product, and that's usually not what we get. We sometimes get like a UMD of Spider-Man with a PlayStation Portable, but this is a totally different feel. Ken, what do you think?
I think this is really interesting. I think this is wow, early adopteritis if you're even going to think about this device. Obviously, the 4K TVs are where things are going to go. I think the idea of it comes with a hard drive player with only 10 movies preloaded on it is a sign that we are so far in advance of what's possible for the digital distribution of this content that it's laughable. Obviously, I would hope that someone like Netflix is going to make some deals whereby anyone who has a 4K TV can pay $50 a month and have a hard drive shipped to them with an extra three movies a month or something like that on it. Because there is no way the American internet infrastructure is going to be able to handle the sheer volume and speed. There is no way that you could decide, oh, I want to rent a 4K movie tonight and watch it. No, because you would probably have to set the television to download it for 12 hours before. I don't know if that's the actual number, but it would take a significant chunk of time to download anything that's going to use this device the way it wants to be used.
Now, YouTube has a 4K channel, and they stream video across. Do you think that that's a better way of doing it?
First of all, I've never actually been able to watch, you can't watch that. You don't have a 4K right. TV. I suppose I have a monitor, an Apple monitor here that would probably do that. But it's probably still got some sort of compression algorithm that makes it almost realistic to download that stuff. That's what I'm saying. I don't see the ability for these to really catch on, at least as something where, you get to watch movies very, very quickly. It's going to be all about how well the television does upscaling until, for a long time, I really think.
The player also ships with a bunch of shorts, so in case you want to get, and it's supposed to be updatable in the future, so you should be able to download content to it, which sounds crazy, like Ken is saying, because who knows how long they'll take. But, I mean, like you were saying, Ken, if it's an early adopter thing, you want to show off your TV and you got nothing to show, I mean, it just seems like, granted, you're not going to buy an Audi with the $25,000. Would you be willing to get this if there was content?
How long has it been since Tom shopped for a car?
Since I shopped for a car?
Yeah, $25,000 for an Audi, that's...
Oh, it's... No, I know.
Used Audi.
You could get a nice Ford Fusion.
You can get a certified pre-owned.
Certified pre-owned.
I just think I can't get past $25,000.
Yeah, no, this is early days. I think this is more significant for Sony's business practices of just saying, you know what, we actually did the impossible. We got the movie side of our business to work with our consumer electronics side of the business.
Yes.
I think that's the cool thing here. We also have Time Warner CEO Jeff Bucks saying some things about Apple TV. Now, Bucks likes to say stuff. He definitely has a mouth on him. December 2010, he said about Netflix, it's a little bit like, is the Albanian army going to take over the world? Criticizing Netflix. And then a year later, December 2011, said, Netflix is our friend. And the Albanian army did actually take over the world. Alexander the Great. I don't know if that one works, Jeff. So, September 2010, he was complaining about Apple TV, about 99-cent rentals, said that there's no way they could ever do a model like that. Speaking at Business Insider's Ignition Conference yesterday, Jeff Bucks said, I hope Apple does make a TV. Apple's a great device company. And then later said they bring good interface and navigation skills. So, he's been leaking out little dribs and drabs about this. The rumors have all been that Time Warner is the company that has made it the farthest in negotiations with Apple for an Apple TV. Sarah, what the F is going on? Why is he leaking out these little, love the Apple TV, but we still don't hear of anything definitive coming?
Well, I don't know if this is really a leak. I think he's probably just being honest, and his attitude has changed significantly in the last couple of years based on the stuff that he was saying back in the day. He 2 years ago he had an issue with renting TV shows for 99 cents, and saying this is just jeopardizing the entire business model. Sounds like he's come around quite a bit. I'm not saying that Time Warner and Apple are going to launch some sort of a device in the next couple of months, although that would be nice, because then we could stop talking about rumors about it. but Apple's a great device company, good interface and navigation. I think it sort of depends on what we're talking about, but I agree with the Apple TV. I think that that Apple has done really well there. I'm sure that someone from Time Warner would look at that and say, if we could figure it out that our bottom line would not be messed with too much, this makes sense for us going forward.
And you don't hear any other CEO of these big media companies, Time Warner's second largest media company to Disney in the United States, talking about Apple TV. And Jeff Books seems to kind of want to talk about it a lot. So obviously they're in negotiations.
Sure.
The rumor must
wouldn't
be true.
Wouldn't be on his mind that much.
Yeah, exactly. And it does feel like he's trying to nudge the conversation toward they're really good at interface.
Mm-hmm. So that when we tell you we have an official partnership, you will also think that they have a good interface.
Yeah,
because I'm planting the seed.
Can you read between the lines here? Do you see any subtext we're missing?
Never take what a CEO says off the cuff at face value. But yes, I totally agree that it's a negotiation stance. You know, there's not in a room with someone, but this is just like fluttering a press release out and nudging someone one way or the other. He's laying groundwork for what can potentially happen if Apple comes out with a television. Maybe there's talks going on. It would be nice if there were talks going on. We would like to see Apple or someone like that do the kind of disruption that's needed in the TV industry right now that Apple did with the phone industry. It would be fun to see. We live in interesting times with technology in general, and we are sitting here eating popcorn, watching various corners of the entertainment industry being dragged, kicking and screaming into the 21st century a decade late. And I think this is part and parcel with all of that. However,
you have popcorn?
Yeah, I got airsoft. We'll go pop some right now.
There were reports back in September that I think it was the Time Warner COO was talking about ceding control to Apple, letting them do the interface. There was Tim Cook at that big media powwow in the Midwest talking to other CEOs of content and cable companies because the Apple TV might have been like a TiVo-like device that would be this intermediary. This particular statement makes me think that Apple just wants somebody publicly at the top of one of these cable companies to say, hey, we like Apple. Maybe the other cable companies will start going, yeah, you know what? If they're saying it publicly, maybe they'll fall in line.
I don't think Apple's behind it. I think Time Warner's behind it. Apple wants Time Warner to sign the contract. That's how they persuade people.
Right.
But I'm saying like the way Apple lined up like one company for iTunes and then got the rest to fall.
They could get one company for
that's
iTunes.
That's what I'm saying. Time Warner would be the first. The rest fall.
Yeah.
All right, the reason ABC and Disney haven't said anything is because they're already in the pocket, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. They might be. Well, not as much as they used to be, but maybe. Let's finish up with some bad news for builders, maybe.
Yeah.
What's up with CPUs? Right, Ars Technica had an interesting article today.
ZDNet and SemiAccurate both are reporting that Intel's Broadwell chips will have to be soldered directly to motherboards, so the processor wouldn't be easily replaceable. And both the sites got their information from PC OEMs and motherboard makers. Broadwell's coming out next year. Ars Technica is trying to skew this in a way, saying, hey, maybe it just means that Broadwell isn't meant for traditional towers. It's meant for, like, mobile PCs. Maybe it's more for all-in-ones. Intel split up their lines before. Other people are just shouting, screaming, this is the death of the desktop. We can't upgrade our CPUs anymore. I know when I first saw it, I had a gut reaction, kind of like, oh, I can't upgrade my processor. But I haven't done that in years. So I don't know if it's just like an old guard feeling. Ken, I mean, you're the geek dad. Is this the death of the desktop, or is this just a reaction?
You know, I haven't swapped out a processor in well over a decade. So this makes sense from a technological standpoint that this would have to happen sooner or later. I think the fact that CPUs have continued to be replaceable for so long is an interesting artifact of where computer building started. And you know what? If there are still enough people out there that want to have that ability, there will still be some kind of market for it, and somebody will fill that niche. It's not the death of anything. It's just technological progress.
Yeah, it's just change. I hate to say it. I mean, I understand why the people who still do this still want to be able to do it. And it's sort of the end of an era, not the death of anything. It's the end of that era where you had the majority of people building their PCs from scratch for a short period of time, and that era is long gone. And you don't think about putting your GPU and seating it in the video card board. At least you don't. I don't think I hear too many people talking about that.
So at this point, instead of swapping out your CPU, if you're that kind of hobbyist or that kind of company doing this kind of thing, instead of just swapping out the CPU, you swap out the motherboard.
Yeah, and it sucks. But motherboard prices have remained pretty stable or gone down. So maybe that's not so bad. But I do think this is probably an alarm too early. It's probably Intel just moving towards mobile and focusing on mobile because that's what they're trying to do.
So it occurs to me to ask: did we see this kind of outcry when they started putting hardwiring the sound cards?
Yes. We saw exactly this kind of outcry. A small number of people who were like, that's horrible. Why would you do that? And of course, we're all totally fine with it now. So.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to be fine with it. I still have like a sick feeling in my stomach with this. I don't like the idea of having
it's
to swap
change,
out.
Yeah.
No, change for this particular thing.
Like you said, when's the last time you actually did it?
Years ago, but now I won't be able to.
Exactly.
Get my soldering. You're not doing it anyway.
Well, then I'm going to have to brush up on my soldering skills.
That's the problem right there. Yeah, well, there you go. It's a good chance to practice some soldering.
Really fine soldering
skills. Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a know-how episode about soldering?
I have to brush up.
You should watch
these tiny pins. Yes.
There was this great guy Iaz on there that was.
I don't know the guy at all. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's move on to the randomizer.
Randomizer.
And a hilarious randomizer it is. Internet Explorer's had ads going since before Windows 8 launched, but the latest ad takes the troll to test. You know, the conventional wisdom is don't respond to trolls. Internet Explorer not only responding to the troll, but sort of like embracing every aspect of a troll's behavior. So they show. I don't think this is a condescending look at an IE hater. It seems rather accurate. They show the person with a webmonkey looking at WebMonkey and leaving some responses
with an evil smirk.
Lots of IE sucks. You see this all the time. You're going to see this in the chat room right now. I have a feeling somebody's sitting at their desk. Yeah, you're not impressing me, idiots. I mean, we've all felt this, even if we haven't written it, and we've all seen it written on comments. So it's a longish ad, and it just goes through him seeing all of these news bits about coming to the Xbox 360. And instead of what I expected was, oh, they're going to show all the things that IE has changed and then have him come to an epiphany at the end. He doesn't. He keeps saying it sucks right up until the end.
Yeah, but the thing is they start doing things like IE adopts Nation of Kittens and Puppies, and the guy still says IE sucks. And then IE eventually comes up with some awesome karaoke standard. And that is the thing that finally melts this guy's heart to write.
No.
They didn't adopt the island either.
So there you go.
Ice sucks
it's not
less.
Even something real that changes the troll.
They call it a progress. That's a very optimistic viewpoint for Microsoft to be like, suck less. Well, we won this game.
it's very well done. It's very clever.
Yeah.
It's a little long. That's just a style criticism, but it's a funny ad. It's smart. And you know what? It's aimed squarely at us.
Yes.
It is not. You know, that's not something you're going to see playing halftime on Monday Night Football. It is that is specifically for those of us that pay attention to the tech industry, and it's cute, and we've all gotten a chuckle over it, and we probably have now gone down one point in IE hatred because of it.
This is 2 days in a row, by the way, that Microsoft has released some sort of a campaign anti-something else, you know?
This one's
kind
much
of a
better
pattern.
Than Scroogled.
Oh, come
opinion.
On, Tom. Scroogled is fun.
Don't mean to be a hater.
It's different. No, I agree with you. It's a little bit heavy-handed, but maybe we had to just build up, like, what kind of a troll is he? Oh, he's a super troll. He really hates IE.
I kept waiting to hate it, to hate the ad, and it kept satisfying, like, nope, that's what I would have done. That's what. Until the karaoke thing, that was the one thing I'm like, really, karaoke? Like,
well, he was
a
karaoke
it's real.
Champion. That was the
and
thing.
And B, that just that wouldn't convince the troll. I just still don't believe that. They could
have. Okay. I was still waiting for him to like start posting manipulated pictures to 4chan or something.
Yeah, exactly. They got pretty close to that kind of stuff. All right, our last sponsor for today's show is Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, and listeners of Tech News Today and viewers of Tech News Today can get a free Audible audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. So if you haven't tried it out or you haven't tried it out in a long time, audiobooks are the way to go, man. If you're wondering, like, how can you read all that stuff? Get audiobooks. I'm always reading one print book or ebook and one audiobook at a time. It's doubled my ability to read. So try it out. Go get an audiobook. I'm reading 2312 right now by Kim Stanley Robinson. It's a fantastic read, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's the kind of book that I'm not sure I would take on in print because it's so long, but I know exactly how much time I need to devote to it, and I give it a little bit every day, and it's a good narrator too. So that's just one idea. You go check it out. You can get any free audiobook you want at audiblepodcast.com/TNT. That's right. Go get an audiobook of your choice at audiblepodcast.com/TNT or pass around that URL to your friends if you're already an Audible subscriber, and show your support for Tech News Today. Big thanks to Audible for their continuing support. Let's check the calendar, shall we?
Let's do that, Tom. It's Leo Laporte's birthday today, everybody. Make sure you thank your chief twit. But, you know, we have another birthday as well, too.
Really?
Pong is 40, and you don't look a day over 39.
That looks like the Atari 2600.
No, Pong? You know, it was from this article.
It was something that Pong could, yeah. Look at you.
There you go.
Actually, you look a lot older than 40, Pong, but hey, thanks for still kicking.
Batting those pixels around.
Pong led a hard life, you know? The Galaxy Note 2 is launching on Verizon Wireless with LTE. Tomorrow, the 30th, and running through Saturday the 1st, is the Facebook Windows 8 hackathon. And the 6 strikes copyright enforcement has been postponed until 2013.
They were always going to come in the summer, and then it was going to come by the end of the year. Now it's 2013. We're never getting that thing. Don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, it's 2013 is right around the corner.
Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Got a voicemail wondering about those Windows 8 license numbers. Take it away, voicemailer.
Hey, guys. Just calling in with a thought on Windows 8 numbers. Just yesterday at work, we got some laptops in that had a little sticker on it that said that they came pre-installed with Windows 7, but that they were licensed for Windows 8, and there was copy included in the box. So I wonder how many of those type machines count towards those numbers that you reported yesterday. Just a thought. Hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
I think they can. If it's an actual license, not mm-hmm. just an offer to pay for an upgrade, but you get an actual license, that counts.
Yeah,
so you're getting a license.
He said that the device was licensed, but it came pre-installed with something else. So that's an interesting.
Yeah, in other words, they shipped it before Windows 8 launched, but they had the license. And I think that counts, and I don't think that's skewing. I think that's legit.
Yeah, you know what's been interesting to me about the last couple of days and these numbers coming out about, oh, no, Windows 8 isn't selling as fast in the same period as Windows 7 did. What was Windows 7 updating from?
Yeah.
Versus what is Windows 8 updating from? I think a lot of people are a lot happier with staying with Windows 7. Just
compare Windows 8 numbers to Windows Vista uptake.
There you go.
Thanks. That's rough. I got an email from Dan from Nashua, New Hampshire. Hey, TNT, love the show. It seems to me that there's a parallel between Windows 8's Metro UI and OS X's dashboard. Both can be called up with a quick keyboard shortcut and display at-a-glance information on whatever you want. Both run essentially mobile software. OS X widgets are remarkably similar to iOS apps, and Metro apps represent Microsoft's mobile push. The difference between these is how they're implemented. Metro is everything Microsoft wants you to experience, whether you want to or not. Dashboard is a tool called up from the desktop, the reverse of Metro. One can get by without dashboard, not so with Metro.
I get by without Metro all the time. I never use that tile interface on my Windows 8
When you
8
start
box.
Up the machine, that's the first thing you see.
Often do I start the machine, though? I mean, this isn't 2001. I'm not rebooting
Energy waster.
Yeah. I hate the Earth.
Got another email from Craig who says, great show. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Craig. In episode 636 in the randomizer, you were talking about the gym in the UK that was using workout energy to generate electricity. The conversation moved to how providing a tangible energy benefit is an incentive for people to exercise. I think the next step should be to turn it into a competition, a little peer pressure, a little guilt trip sort of effort. Public items like street lamps are tagged with people's names, similar to the Adopt a Highway signs you see for groups responsible for cleaning up roadside trash. Then that person's responsible for charging that lamp. They could do this by logging into a machine with a key card and having their generated electricity allocated to their resource. You could also form teams or even have businesses sponsor teams. So this started out as a joke, but after writing it out, it actually seems like a good idea.
This street lamp powered by Ken Denmead.
Oh, my God. It's going to be dark all the time.
That's the thing. When people are really relying on you, then you get into trouble. You're like, I don't want to work out.
Then out of guilt, you task rabbit it. So you create this little mini economy around it. It's perfect. Everybody wins.
This could save the economy as well as all of our waistlines. Good idea, Craig. Well done. And well done to you, Ken Denmead. Thanks again for joining us, man. Let folks know what's going on over there at the Geek Dad blog.
We are full on into the holiday celebrations. Stop on by and check out. We post a holiday gift guide once a week, different themes, books, video games, gadgets, and so forth that are good for the geek family. We will also be starting in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, our annual 12 Days of Geekmas podcast and giveaway series. One geeky song, geeky holiday song that you can share with your kids, and a whole bunch of really fun swag every day for 12 days.
That's fantastic. I always love your gift guides too. I always take a look at those and then tell my sister to buy me everything. Not that she does, but that's it for this episode of Tech News Today. Thanks for submitting stories at our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. It helps us to figure out what stories to cover each and every day. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. Get all of our episodes there. You can also email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail like we had today. 260-TNT-SHOW is the phone number. I'll be in LA tomorrow, but Darren Kitchen will be here, and that'll be weird, but we'll both be on the show. See you then.